This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. This one coming to you, of all places, from the private office of Dr. Alexander Tutinoff over in the SOU Music Building. And my guest, due to the fact that we've got a beautiful grand piano for you to sit in front of, is Paula Cole. Welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here.
Paula's newest album is called Raven. We will talk about that in just a few minutes, and we'll hear some live performances. You've got a couple of folks in here with you. Who have you brought along?
This is my touring family. I have Chris Bruce on guitar and Ben Whitman on cajon and djembe.
Welcome, guys. Paula, I want to start by going back in time a little bit, because sure. In the era of the 90s, your popularity was enormous at the time due to a couple of really big hit singles, television placement of a song. Was that pace a pace that was sustainable for somebody that was your age at the time? I mean, looking back on it now, this many years have passed. Was that a difficult pace for anybody to sustain?
No, I think some extroverts would have been happy with that pace. You know, to me, you know, I'm always in amazement when I see somebody get to that point and actually flourish. And I think they must test on the Myers-Briggs personality test as an extrovert, because I test highly as an introvert, so it was difficult for me. I was late 20s at that point, so I guess I could have handled it if it were in my makeup, but it just wasn't. It wasn't in my makeup, and I needed to go within and make kind of even more intense art, and I don't think the world was ready for that. You know, Amen really kind of bombed, and that was like an even more spiritual searching album. Then I just took a hiatus after that.
How does a self-described introvert decide to start writing pop tunes then? That those seem to not work in tandem with one another.
Well, I love pop. I'm a mixed bag. I'm a mongrel genetically, musically. I am soul, I am folk, I am pop, I'm jazz. I love all these musics, you know. So when I listen to my music, I don't think it's pop. Yeah, maybe it made pop charts, but if you really listen to it, you'll hear all these influences. I mean, I went to Berklee College of Music and was a jazz singer before this. My first record deal was from a jazz label, which I turned down because I didn't want to be put into that niche, into that record bin at the time.
Have you ever thought of making a jazz album?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to make a jazz album next. And I've been waiting an awfully long time to do that, some decades, yeah.
When you're not out on tour doing your own catalog, do you sing jazz, like in your spare time? And
Always.
Yeah.
I have a couple of real books at home, and I always pull them out to just practice kind of moving around more complex chord changes. And that's how I really cut my teeth, was learning songs from the real book, learning those great American chestnuts. And that's how I grew up, really, was listening to standards, great American standards. And Nat King Cole is one of my favorite singers, piano players. I'm highly influenced by jazz musicians. Actually, all of us here in the room have spent time either touring with jazz musicians. Often, you know, historically, if you look at the musicians I've worked with, they're all jazz in their makeup.
Mm. And you mentioned Nat King Cole.
Mm.
He was a jazz singer that also had tremendous popular appeal, whereas another decade later, a lot of jazz musicians veered off into a direction where pop music went one way and jazz went the other. But at least in that period, the Ellas of the world and the Nat King Coles of the world and the Mel Tormes and the Sinatras, they were popular vocalists.
Absolutely.
That, oh, by the way, sang jazz.
Well, we only called it jazz later. And I don't know if you can swear on National Public Radio, but I mean, the word jazz itself comes from the brothels of New Orleans, which means like fucking, right? You know? So that's what jazz supposedly is. And like a lot of jazz artists don't even like that term. And absolutely, Ella Fitzgerald had a number one pop hit with Tisket a Tasket,
yeah.
Nat King Cole. But Nat King Cole did start in jazz. He was Lester Young's piano player in his ensemble and then left. I guess he and Oscar Peterson had some secret agreement that Oscar would stick to the piano and Nat would go off and sing.
You referenced in passing there how you'd put out a couple of albums, Harbinger, This Fire, and then Amen comes out.
Mm.
And commercially, not successful.
Right.
Artistically, sure, but commercially not successful. Was there a disconnect for you at the time trying to figure out how those two things differed, being in the world of major record labels, major recording contracts, to put out a commercially unsuccessful record that artistically was what you felt you should be doing at that time?
It was the beginning of a midlife crisis, for sure. It was the beginning of an evaluation. And of course, it was soul crushing. You know, I had achieved a level of success that I thought would bring me freedom. And it did, because it was no problem then to self-produce, whereas the album before with this fire, there were a lot of naysayers. It was a struggle to self-produce. And, you know, after I found out I was nominated for the Grammy for Producer of the Year, I found out that I was the first woman ever to be nominated. It was just a bastion of male history, and it was a struggle to, I guess that's why it was so difficult, because it just wasn't done at the time, but, you know, not very much anyway. But with Amen, I had more freedom. I could do what I wanted, and so I dug deeper. Artistically, I'm still proud of that album. And yes, it just, the times changed. We were coming out of the 90s. We were moving to Y2K. Remember that whole Y2K scare? And I was living in New York City, and there were tons of police on New Year's Eve. It was just a different time. You could feel the end of the era. The 90s were like the gay 90s, like almost rewind 100 years. It was a time of happiness and freedom for most, not all, but, you know, the aughts and 9/11 and George W. and all of that would just brought in a different reality. So we were still living that. Lilith Fair had almost Woodstock-like audiences. And I put out Amen, you know, it was released with a thud. And really what was popular then was like, Come On Baby, Hit Me One More Time, mm-hmm. Britney Spears, like Bubblegum, Jessica Simpson, Christina Aguilera, all these kind of Bubblegum Blondes and NSYNC and these artists that needed songs written for them and Svengali managers. And that was kind of the ushered in pop realm of the time. And the Lilith Fair artists were out and whatever. It's just, I know that time will tell my reality. I have faith in my longevity.
Paula Cole is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Raven. What do you want to play first today?
This song comes from Raven. I wrote it in time to my morning walk footsteps. And it comes from some grandmotherly wisdom from my grandmother, Helen Cole. And now I say this to my friends. You are a strong, beautiful woman. Don't let the world let you down. Look within yourself and remember who you are. Strong, beautiful woman. Don't let the world let you down. Look within yourself and remember who you are. I'm 10 years old in braids and skirts. I'm flying down the hill, down the street to grandma's house. I step inside her world. First she'd hold me, feed me, scold me. Patiently she'd heed my morning. Then she'd sit me down and tell me this. You'll be a strong, beautiful woman, and I won't let the world let you down. Look within yourself and remember who carried you forth. You'll be a strong, beautiful woman. You down. Look within yourself and remember who you are. I'm 26 and leading the band, a troubadour traveling show, working in. Broken-hearted just long enough to see self-pitying and doubting. I feel her spirit with me now. You are a strong, beautiful woman. Don't let the world let you down. Within yourself and remember who carried you forth. You are a strong, beautiful woman. Don't let the world let you down. Look within yourself and remember.
That is Paula Cole live here on Jefferson Public Radio, Strong Beautiful Woman from the new album called Raven. So just before the tune, Paula, we were talking about the release of Amen and how it landed. Right? And after that, there was a fairly lengthy quiet period for you, right? About 8 years where, from everything that I've read, life kind of got in the way of the creation of your music for quite a few years, right? Birth of your daughter. Early on, some medical issues with your daughter, asthma. She was born with asthma. So there was a lot of care needed there, dissolution of your union and trying to emerge from all of that. Were you still making music during all of that period as a way of escaping all of the pressure that was on you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am a musician. I can't help it. And I did try to make an album, first with Hugh Padgham. I don't know if you know who he is, but he is a wonderful British engineer and producer. He worked on Synchronicity and early XTC. And I knew he'd be great with my drummer Jay at the time, you know, the way he mics drums. So, we tried to make an album. That didn't fly. Then I tried working with Don Was. Found myself crying at his kitchen table, you know, and he just said to me, Paula, he was like a shaman and who appeared in my life for the right reasons. And he said, Paula, I've seen a lot of amazing artists lose the prime of their years with the dysfunction of record labels, like the lack of communication. So he kind of helped nudge me to not be afraid. So I left Warner Brothers at that point because I saw that they were more interested in discussing golf than they were music. And and all the mergers. The writing was on the wall, really, for the music business.
And so Courage ended up coming out in 2007. You followed that up with Ithaca, 2010. And now we've moved on to Raven, which was your first Kickstarter-funded record. Is that true? And this campaign went pretty well.
Yeah.
You set a goal and then hit the goal and then kept going, right? I mean, that must have been a really good feeling to have been out of the mainstream music world, where it wasn't so much about an upfront contract and then the label owns the masters and all of that sort of stuff. It was really just you connecting one-on-one with audiences, and to see that kind of response back. Was that justification for you for all of those years where you weren't necessarily making music?
Well, first let me see. I was very touched and grateful for the support of that family, that team energy that came together for me for Raven and the Kickstarter campaign, and we got 150% of the ask.
That's fantastic.
It was fantastic, yeah. And I was inspired by Amanda Palmer's Kickstarter campaign, and started researching successful Kickstarter campaigns, and I realized I should be unafraid. I don't want to run back to major labels after I've been on four major labels. That's
at like, this point, that's more that's major ridiculous. Labels than there are major labels now.
Yeah, right.
Right? I think there are only three considered majors nowadays, and you've been on four. Oh, so.
I know. And I didn't need that experience anymore. And I don't want to complain about it, because I did receive a lot from it. And it put me at this interesting position of having, you know, a small but loyal fan base and a history. So I decided, let me try this independently. Yes, it's more modest, but it's organic, and they're there for me passionately. I'm going forth independently, and we'll see how it keeps panning out, but I'm liking the creative freedom a lot.
Why did you call the new album Raven?
I don't quite know yet.
Okay.
I'm figuring that out, but I just find myself attracted to the symbology of it. I find myself interested in crows and ravens. My dad was an ornithologist. I grew up with Roger Torrey Peterson tapes in the house and identifying bird calls, and they're wolf birds. They're profoundly smart, and they're wary of humans, and I don't know, they represent some doorway to some otherworldliness, and I like all that.
Paula Cole is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio, recording in the private studio of Dr. Alexander Tutinoff over in the SOU Music Building. The new album is called Raven. Not all new songs, correct? Some of these things are from the archives.
That's right.
That you've gone back to. What do you want to do next?
Let's do another from Raven, and like you just said, this is not a brand new song, but when I was working with Don Was in 2004, he asked me to write a couple songs for Solomon Burke, the country soul legend, and he was producing a Solomon Burke album, so I wrote a couple of songs for Solomon, and he didn't record either of them, which, you know, I was disappointed, but those songs then kind of lingered back there with a lot of my other back catalog songs. This started as kind of a country waltz in 3/4, but I shifted it to 4/4 and changed a few things around and brought this song out for myself. This song is called Eloise.
Inside, I'm dying. Eloise, Eloise, forgive me, star clouds come over and hurricane through our home. You fell out of love and started looking around. The jealousy I feel inside of me is a tiger I cannot control. you hate and you spiraling down to hell. Saw the silhouettes and you weren't alone in my truck. And then I don't know what came over, 'cause I don't remember the blood, the bullet holes, the handcuffs, the cuffs. Crossing my heart, I'm crossing the days in my book. Still you arrive at the hour, still you stay married to me. Oh, our love will live through this.
That is Paula Cole live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Raven. That one also from the new album, but as you mentioned, a little bit older song, right? This one came out of a catalog.
Oh,
a catalog,
Eloise?
Of your tune, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I have a lot of old gems back there in the coffers.
I read a really interesting story recently about your mom and how she kept a lot of old and really old songs, like from teenage years, songs of yours that were on cassette.
Yes.
How many of them? Okay, so she keeps them, and at some point she gives them to you. And how much of that material did you go back through? And as a percentage, how much of it did you think, man, maybe there's something here?
The percentage wasn't that high. I don't know if it's just where I'm at in my life, but now, you know, yeah, there were some interesting ones. Compiling Raven, there are new songs on Raven. I mean, there were songs that were written right at the very, very end, like that song Secretary, as you know, Ben. We had the album sequenced, and it felt like there was just something missing. So I wrote into that vacancy to round out the album, because I kind of wanted the album to be a little Emmylou Harris meets P.J. Harvey, and there wasn't enough of the P.J. Harvey side of things. So, but really, I was bringing forth a couple of old ones from the coffers. And when I was looking back at my songs, my mom said to me, Paula, I think I have some demo cassettes, you know, cassette tapes. I have them in my bank vault wrapped in acid-free paper. I mean, really, what a loving archivist and what a loving mother to do that and to believe in me. So this was probably 91 or something. And I found a couple of songs there that were good, and there were several that I did not like.
Well, I want to hear another tune, but I do have one other thing to ask you about. Not that long ago, you tore a calf muscle. And now you've got a knee thing going on. You have knee surgery coming up. What is it that you are doing outside of music to destroy your body physically?
It's called tennis in your 40s. Oh, this is a depressing conversation because I love tennis. I've found something I love and I'm good at. And well, you know, I'm on a team. I have a partner. I play doubles. And I care and I go out there and I want to win. And I have very lax joints, you know. I guess I'm meant to be a yogini and not a competitive athlete.
When I saw you getting out of the vehicle today, is that brace on your right knee?
Yes, it is.
Does that make it hard to use the pedal when you're playing?
You know, it's okay. The show must go on. These are my last dates before I take a couple months off. I've had to cancel shows or postpone them, really, to go in for knee surgery. And yes, I tore my right calf, and then I tore my left calf, and then I busted my knee. I tore my ACL in half and meniscus, so I'm going to have cadaver tendon threaded through.
We're only another decade or two away from shuffleboard, and that's a lot easier, right? Paula Cole is my guest today here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Raven. Thanks so much for taking some time. What do you want to go out with today?
We're going to play a song that you probably hear too frequently in the grocery stores or the elevators, but I want to play it today because this song was really written for my grandfather and my grandmother both, but my grandfather Everett and my grandmother Helen, they lived down the street from me in Rockport, Massachusetts, down the hill, and they were a big part of my life. And I'd go running down that hill to kind of be fortified in my soul. And I could feel it when he was at the end of his life, and I wrote this song for him.
So open up your morning light and say a little prayer for I. You know that if we are to stay alive, then see the peace in every eye.
Look at me.
open up your morning light and say a little prayer for I. You know that if we are to stay alive, then see the peace in every eye. I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be?
That is Paula Cole live on Jefferson Public Radio. Paula, thanks again for taking some time out to visit with us.
Really, really happy to be here. And thank you so much for your support. And I just want to introduce one more time, Ben Whitman on percussion and Chris Bruce on guitar.
Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Our pleasure.
And another big thanks to Dr. Tutenoff for letting us use his office.
Absolutely. Thank you, Doctor.